Well, we kind of missed something this morning right off, at least I did. Those who knew, during that first slideshow, that was to start out with some audio. And the audio was missing. It was on the little screen there, but it must have been something in the technology that I did wrong. That didn't produce it. It was to be a lion roar, and it was to be a lion's roar and then some growling and some snarling. And the aim was, of course, to get us to think about this world with devils filled, threatening to undo us, not fearing, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. And of course, those words that Peter shared with us. Why don't you turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we come to the conclusion of Peter's matter, like Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes, the conclusion of the matter. We come to that here. 1 Peter chapter 5. As you're going there, I'm going to put up a story here. It's a story that I want to get your take on. It's a story that is reported here in a book called Jesus Now, which I've been reading over the course of this week. And I want to see if this is something that you can relate to. There's a little story about a skydiver who drifted over 100 miles off course. Must be some pretty turbulent weather. And he landed in a dense forest. He was strung up in a tree, and he was tangled and he'd terrified of the fast approaching night. And he began to yell for help. And after a few minutes, a man who was out for a walk chanced upon the skydiver. And he said, "Hey, hello, I need help." "Where am I?" said the guy stuck in a tree. "You're stuck in a tree with no way out. You're surrounded by a forest, and it's getting dark," the other man replied. "Oh, of all my luck," said the skydiver, "I got stuck with a minister as a rescuer." And hearing that, the passerby who was out for a walk wondered out loud, saying, "How did this distressed man know that my occupation was a minister?" "Well," said the man in the tree, "I assumed you must be a minister, as what you've said is both utterly true and utterly useless in helping me." So, what's your take on that? Have you ever been in a situation where you've heard some preaching, some carrying on, some real carrying on, and then, so, how? Matter of fact, there was a pastor who talked about a elderly woman who always spoke to him after the messages. And she'd meet him saying, "Pastor, yes, but how? Yes, but how?" And as a matter of fact, that has been such a problem with preaching and ministry that there was a guy in the pastry who wrote a book called YBH, Yes, But How. And it's talked about that. So what is your take? Have you ever been in a message where you kind of walked away with like, yes, no, what do I do with this? Have you? I want you to know that that is a desperate thing with me. I try desperately to avoid that. Because this isn't so we'll just know we're stuck up in a tree. This is so we'll know what to do for a great escape. This morning, we're going to look at a thing that Peter says at the conclusion of his letter. This is the true grace of God. As a matter of fact, by the way, I put that up as a story, or is it? Because it's a question, whether it's more true than false sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, goes like this. After drawing a conclusion, or reaching his conclusion by talking about Satan, he gives the conclusion, Peter, by these words. By Silvanus, verse 12, a faithful brother, at least as I regard him, I've written to you briefly, this which I've written to you in these five chapters briefly, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and declaring that this right here, which I've been telling you, is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who's at Babylon, seems to be someone who they both knew, who is likewise chosen, sends you a greeting, so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This morning we're going to bring this conclusion and observe the Lord's table by talking about true grace of God here. This is it. What Peter has been talking about in life circumstances and experiences where there are difficult things and there are trials, this is the true grace of God for where you are. This is it. This is it. So, stand firm in it. We're up a tree. We've got some trials. It's kind of dark. And there's a dense underbrush that we live with. And in this is the true grace of God. So stand for a minute. In all five chapters that Peter wrote to us, he spoke about the grace of God. In every single one. And he spoke about it in the context or the experiencing of life. Grace at work. Grace doing things. The true grace of God. So what we're going to talk about this morning is this is it. The true grace of God, it's right here. It's in this. It's right here. Now, we're going to do this by kind of highlighting those things that Peter has said here where the true grace of God shows up. So you'll see it. And as we do this briefly, we're going to give rise to you giving testimony. Testimony about seeing the grace of God in your own life. Testimony about maybe seeing it in someone else's life. So, let's begin here. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, these words. The true grace of God appears in the salvation, the rescuing of your souls. And he's talking about the life of all those that he was writing to. The rescuing of your souls. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, where we read this. He says, verse 1, obtaining the outcome of your faith. This is what you get as an outcome of putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the salvation of your souls, the rescuing of your life. The word salvation means to rescue. The word soul refers to your very life, my life, your inner life, your life experience here. This is a rescue of your life. Verse 10, concerning this rescue, the prophets who prophesied about the grace of God that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. This is it. The experiencing of salvation, this grace in rescuing you, the experiencing of it in life, this is it. This is the true grace of God. And he begins to talk about this concerning three perspectives. He talks about it concerning the past. That's what Peter has already spoken about. Turn with me, if you would, here to verse number 3. After Peter gives a greeting, he says this, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here is the experiencing of the true grace of God. This is how it happens, that you are born again. That is a past thing. You know, I was listening to one of the former presidents who was being interviewed concerning his faith. And they asked him about being born again. And this, quote unquote, was his remark. He says, you know, our church really doesn't teach that. So I really, and then he goes on and talks about not having experienced that in his life because his church, which I knew what church he was involved in and what denominational group that was, really doesn't teach that, he said. Well, let me share with you this, that you have not experienced the true grace of God if you don't know what it is to be born again by experience. Your experience. Do you have a time that comes to your mind when you were born again? That suddenly God became so important, so big, so much what life was about, so much aware of this, through putting your trust in Jesus Christ, through accepting, receiving, trusting, believing, however you want to term it, the Bible uses all those words, in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that by experience? Maybe your experience was over a period of time with family members. Maybe your experience was an interaction with a person. Maybe your experience was more dramatic than non-dramatic. Maybe it was one time when God just brought home to you the utter truth of it. Can I come up to you and say, tell me about that right now? And you could. Because you know what it is to be born again. I want you to know that Jesus said, you won't see nor enter the kingdom of God except, he said, you be born again. Now, that's some pretty big basis of authority. Agreed? Agreed? So, the true grace of God, this is it. In your past, there has been this experience where you have been born again. To know that this is it, this is the true grace of God that must, on the basis of Jesus' authority, have happened somewhere in the experience of your life. Again, let me repeat. Maybe it was a progressive exposure through family members. Maybe it was somebody who you interacted with over a period of time or who gave you a booklet. Or maybe it was more of a dramatic experience where the truth came home to you and God became so big because you trusted that Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins and there was nothing you could do about it and you're born again. There's suddenly the life of God in you. The true grace of God, the true grace of God has this in your past. If it's not there, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the true grace of God in experience. He talks about it here. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy caused us to be born again to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Second, he says this, it has a future. This real grace of God, if you really have it, has a future. It had a past with you being born again, and now it's got this future. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance, to what you will share in and possess that's handed down to you, to an inheritance, he says, that is imperishable. It'll never go away. It's undefiled. It can't be tainted. It is unfading. It never becomes less and less. Actually, it becomes more and more. And it's kept in heaven for you, he says. This has a future. This true grace of God has a future. A future where you come to possess God and everything that God is and has. That's the future. What a future. You come to possess God. Not that you become God, but you share, you partake, you are a possessor with Him of His divine nature. You know, one of the most powerful, overwhelming, humbling, admiration-building, all-absorbing things that I've ever done is to pursue what the person of God is like in the Scriptures. Have you ever had somebody say this? That's how you are. You see how you are? That's just the way you are. You ever had that? That's the way you are. I've heard that in counseling repeatedly. See, that's the way you are. That's just the way you are. And usually in counseling, it's said in a less than pleasant way. Here, I'm talking about the way God is. I've never been so humbled or overwhelmed with admiration than when I've been drinking in the way God is as a person. And here's your future. That's you. You'll be able to possess all that God has and a nature like His. Be like Him. That's your future. That's the true grace of God, he says. That's it. That's it. True grace of God. And he goes on to say, it has a very big present here. There is a very, very big present here. Look at this with me, if you would. He says, you, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for this rescue, for this salvation that's ready to be revealed. The fullness of it is ready to be revealed in the last time, in the very last segment of time that God has for you to experience. You get to go through the full thing of what this rescue is. So, this has a big present. Let me put this up. The big present is this. You have a living hope. You've been born again, he says, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being guarded by God's power. Present experience of God's grace. There is inside of you a confident anticipation for the future that's alive. It's just vibrant. It's just there. It's what God has in mind down the road, and it's there. It's a living hope. This is the true grace of God. It's born again to this living hope, and you are being guarded here in this world with devils filled by the power of God for it. You're being guarded that it's never lost. You're being guarded by him, he says, verse 5, by the power of God for this rescue that's ready to be fully revealed when God says, that's enough. This is the true grace of God. Let me add one other, he says. He says this also. You have been rescued under this true grace of God to a joy. Look at me with verse 6. In this power of God, this living hope, you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you're grieved. And you have been grieved by various trials. Hey, let me ask a question. Anybody have a trial going on this week? And let me tell you, some who didn't put up your hands, I know of the trial that you have and are going through right now. I have heard. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody who went through this week without a trial? My, no takers in that. It's unanimous. Isn't that amazing? Here's the thing that's the true grace of God. That there is inside of you, in addition to this living hope, in addition to this guarding by God's power, there is inside of you a happiness of heart that doesn't go away. Even though, if necessary, you are grieved by various kinds of trials. You know that? Let me ask you, do you know that? Do you know that? That is the true grace of God. That's what he's saying here. That's the true grace of God. That there is in this. Not long ago, I was blindsided by a trial that I just wasn't expecting until the night before. And the night before, I got a hint that this trial was coming down. And bingo, it came down bigger than I imagined the next day. And I want you to know, in the middle of this, when it was first and breaking on me, my stomach goes and turned. And then just about as fast as it turned, suddenly a peace just settled in my heart to go forward through the trial. And I was even able to talk to you now, but to talk to others about how that just came. I want you to know, I can't do that. I don't have it in me to do that. But the true grace of God giving me a living hope and guarding me through his power residences in me this joy that goes there. That's the true grace of God. It's the true grace of God. He says, this is the true grace of God. He talks about this thing. This is a testing, verse 7, of the genuineness of your faith. God is allowing this test for the genuineness of your faith to be purified, like gold that gets purified. And verse 8, even though you don't see him, you love him, and though you don't see him now, you do trust him, and this joy and this rejoicing is there. You're able to tell others, and it's resident in your heart, this happiness of heart. It's inexpressible, and it's filled with glory, obtaining the outcome, verse 9, of your faith, this rescuing of your soul. And concerning this, the prophets looked at this grace of God and searched it out. Now, that brings us to a word of testimony from you. What have you seen of the grace of God? As a matter of fact, I just gave a testimony about it, going through a trial. I jotted down some others here. I'd like to hear from you. Do we have a mic here close? Okay, there's a mic. Great. So let's make sure that we've got it. And a word of testimony, maybe about the grace of God that you've seen in a person's life. Maybe in your own life. Grace of God. It's up to you. What are we going to do here? Okay, got one right here. All right, so let's take the mic over there. Deb?
Through the grace of God, I have been able to, with the thirst and the hunger of wanting to get closer and closer to Him and feel Him come down in my heart, going to 2 to 3 D bands every week, and seeing the difference in the D bands, I'm able to start to feel that thirst and hunger that I want to get close to Him and be in Him. And through His grace, I'm able to do that now.
Amen. Let me pause here for a moment. I want to have everybody come in his testimony. Have anybody here seen a change go on in Deb's life? Yeah, yeah, amen. Isn't that amazing? A change by the grace of God. Now, Deb is perfect.
No.
No. And she's always humble and sweet and giving. And you know what? We can't really say that about anybody, can we? But we can say this, that God's grace really works in a person's life. Amen? And I think she's on the right course in going after it. Amen? I don't go to 3D bands. I don't go to 3D bands. Yeah, I think about 3D bands. I pray concerning 3D bands and more, but I don't go. All right, somebody else. Testimony on the grace of God, maybe in your life, maybe in somebody else's life that you've seen. Up here, Karen.
I've seen grace in someone else's life, and that would be Chrissy and Mike Wingo. Over the past few months, I've seen, particularly in Mike, his Facebook posts have changed. He has been praising God for lots of different things, particularly for his church family, which has come up several times in the past couple of months. And then he lost his job this week. And I think it has been really cool to see, as he has faced rejection from his physical earthly family, he has been able to see the body of Christ being his family that will support him through this time. And it's just been really cool to see that.
Amen. 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 Whew. Anybody in here seen a change in Mike Wingo's life? Yeah. Now, Mike is perfect. No. No. He's always sweet, always kind, always humble. Yeah. You see how the grace of God works? It takes us with our frailties and gives us this excellent standing with God. And then we grow. And people see it. Amen. Testimony. Grace in your life. Right here. David.
The grace of God's in this church family. I've been unable to come for a little over 2 months, like 9 weeks. And I show up and I don't have enough time to catch up with everybody, all my brothers and sisters here. But I'm welcome with the open arms.
Amen.
And it's great. And not much has changed at the church, but I call that a good thing because I love this church. Always have.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and ever. Let's see. We should talk about David being perfect. We'll go on. Testimony. Testimony. Right here. Mm-hmm. Right here. Bob. One of our deacons, D-band leaders. Bob.
It's not necessarily my testimony, but it's a testimony of things that have happened in our D-band. We've had several really serious and important prayers answered. And I'm pretty sure one of the ladies here that was involved, and it's up to her whether she wants to talk about it or not. But it's just been a real God-sent blessing for the ladies that we have. And we're blessed with having them.
Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be good to talk about answered prayers? Do you see that on a weekly basis? That being God's provision in His guarding us and His protecting us, He lets us get with Him in that. Good. Testimony. Grace of God in your life, someone else's life. Over here, Matt Govindia. And somebody else over here so we don't have to run Doug all over the building, be thinking of a testimony here that we can hear. All righty.
I'll try to talk. My voice is not exactly there. I wanted to share a testimony of God's grace and answer to prayer as far as finances and things that we've been praying for a long time. It's easy to think that you can always work harder, that you can grind harder, that you aren't putting your best foot forward and all these things. When you're running a small business, it's kind of all on your shoulders. There's not really another option. You're either bringing in the money or you're not. But by the grace of God, this last couple months, we've set ourselves up in a pretty good spot to start getting out of debt. And in a lot of ways, he's blessed us with legit payment for work as opposed to just enough to sort of scrape by. And it's the grace of God for sure. And we could definitely use prayer that we are wise with that money. And then the projects that I have lined up that I can get them all done and keep moving forward in that sense. But it's definitely a blessing and the grace of God shining through.
Amen. Amen. Over here, another testimony we have. Somebody over here? No pressure on this side, of course. Okay, right there. Ryan's going to fulfill the bill.
Obviously, with the adoption of Abraham, that's been a huge grace for me. And I can't help but look back to where we were 8 years ago when our infertility started. Neither Laura or I were born again.
Amen.
And Amen. Then we weren't ready for a child. He knew that. 4 years ago, a little over 4 years, I started going to D-band. You know, D-bands are crucial in this church. And all of a sudden, I was starting to realize that I needed Christ, that, you know, and became born again a little over 4 years ago. I had dealt with addiction a lot in my life, 13 years of it. And 4 years ago, Christmas Day, he rescued me from it. Amen. I've been sober for over 4 years. That's the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. I'm kind of close to Ryan, and it's been good to see him grow. It's been good. One over here, and then we're going to transition. Okay?
Well, I would like to say that God had answered all my prayers and rescued me from all my problems, but he hasn't. But my testimony is that I can have that joy in my heart. I will not let Satan take that joy of everyday life, of loving my family and being with my family and enjoying life every day. I won't let him take that from me. And I just keep pushing on, and I have faith that God will continue to provide for me as he sees fit, not as I see fit. And so that's my testimony, that even when you're still waiting for God's prayer, you can be thankful and joyful.
Let me tell you, I know as a fact, Brenda, your wealth is going to transcend what you've ever imagined. As a matter of fact, you are going to be just as wealthy as God.
I am already blessed.
Amen. 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 And that will come in. That is part of this inheritance that we have. Going to transition into, can you bring this up again? Going to transition into the yes, but how, and I'm just going to put this up, and we're going to move into the Lord's table. And now, how to stand firm. Are you ready for this? Here we go. He says, set your hope. This that you control, your anticipation of the future, like we just talked with Renda, set it there. Set your hope completely on the grace of God that will be revealed to you when Christ returns. Set your hope there. But I have hopes here. We do have hopes here. Let this hope keep you going. Let this anticipation help you to move through all these with an attitude that God is in this, God is up to something good in this, because we endure in this doing good even when we suffer what seems unjustly. That's what he says is a grace thing in God's eyes. 1 Peter 2:20. We endure going through this, even when it doesn't seem a just thing, because this is a grace thing, this enduring. That's how. Set your hope, keep going, setting your hope, enduring with an attitude that even when it doesn't seem right, God is in this, and he's up to good in it. So then he says, relate to each other. Specifically, he talks about relating as husband and wife as heirs together of the grace of life. Boy, that would be a good talk about, but how? This is how. The ones you live with is an heir with you of all the unearned benefits and blessings and help, even though what you've done is contrary to getting these benefits and blessing and help from God. So live with them when you're uptight or upset as heirs together of the grace of life. That's how. That's the how. I need more how-to. Come and see me. Come and see Dr. Stewart. I need more how-to. That's what that's for. How-to. And then finally, well, almost finally, he says, as each one has received a gift according to the grace of God, this is the yes, but how. Look to serve others. Look to serve them as good stewards of this multicolored grace of God. Look to serve them. I hope in your D-bands there are discussions that go on about recognizing gifts in other people and encouraging them to use them. Last week I was in another D-band, not my own, and in this D-band they are working on a very important thing for Heartland as a project. And in this D-band, one of them presented a very clear analogy and application on this thing they're working through on Heartland. There was an opportunity to encourage and to recognize gifts and to spur on to serve with those. I hope in your D-bands there are discussions about gifts and encouragement of what others are contributing to the body of Christ and reinforcing those. I hope. Because it's the only way we see our gifts, these graced gifts. This is how. This is how. One last thing. The how-to. Be humble. Hear God's voice. Respond to it by coming to Him, where He's at, what He's doing, what He says. Hear God's voice, respond to it, and trust Him in the situation. That's being humble. To hear God's voice, to respond to it by coming to Him where He says, and then you trust Him in it. That's humble. And be humble with one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. That, he says, God giving grace. This being humble to one another is to not look out to your own interest only. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how well you know what you need? Isn't it amazing how well you know what you want? And how it's not there. What you need, what you want, what you plan. Isn't it amazing? Being humble is to not look out that way for your own interests, but the interests of others also. Have that mind that was in Christ, who did just that. This, he says, is where God gives more grace and more grace. This is the true grace of God, he says. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in this. Stand firm. And Peter wraps up by saying these words. The God of all grace, who has called you to His glory, His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will restore, confirm, establish it. He will. He will do it. It's about Him. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good things, the good works that He's prepared in advance, that we just walk into them.